chapter, verses 3 through 5. Some of you might even be able to quote this. But it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." This is the God who comforts us in all our tribulation. Just pray for me. Because God's word is such a comfort to us. Is it not? His word is a strength to us. His word is our solace. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen? And his strength is made perfect in your weakness too. We all struggle. Don't tell me you don't, because I know you do. Everybody that lives in this world goes through struggles. You're going to go through tribulations. You might go through sickness. You might go through a million and jillion things worse than somebody else, or at least we always think that our troubles are worse than somebody else's, right? That's not necessarily true. And God often reminds me, whenever I'm talking to people, sometimes, I'm going to get back to the scriptures, but God often reminds me that the troubles that we go through, that we deal with, is not as hard as the person goes through troubles that don't know God. Amen? Their troubles are a lot worse than mine, because I know who I serve. I know the God who brings me comfort. I know the God who brings me strength. I know the God who talks to me in the night. I know the God that meets with me at the altar. They don't have that. And so their troubles are a lot worse than mine. Amen? Okay, I'm going to start these verses again. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. All comfort. He comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, if you look at this word comfort, it means to soothe in distress or sorrow, to console, to ease, and quiet enjoyment. Console means to make feel less sad or disappointed. You know, these are Paul's writings. Everybody knows who Paul is, right? You know who Paul is. Raise your hand for me. You know who Paul is. That man suffered, did he not? Shipwrecked. Snake bitten, thrown in prison. Man, has anybody here ever been thrown in prison? You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody here been thrown in prison? You might feel like you've been in prison. You might been in prison in your troubles, right? And you don't see a way out of that prison. But guess what? It says right here that God is the God of all comfort. And he also can bring us out of that prison that we create in our own mind. Sometimes we keep ourselves in a prison in our own mind and even in our own spirit. And we think, well, where is God? I have thought that in this past year. I'll be honest with you. It's like, where are you, God? Why aren't you answering our prayers? You know we have a son that needs you. We need you, Lord. Where are you? Come on. Y'all's got to preach with me this morning. All right, because if you've ever went through any troubles or trials or tribulations, I'm sure that has crossed your mind. All right, where are you, God? I need you. I know my husband's thought that. I thought that over the last 15 years too. It's like, God, why can't you heal him? I know you can heal him. Why haven't you done it? Well, I'm going to tell you, the scriptures kind of tells us why we go through things. It's so that we can bring comfort to other people. See, we would not know how to comfort somebody that's been in prison, even if it's in their own mind, if we never went through it. We would never know how to share, how to regain your joy if you've never lost your joy. We would never know how to tell somebody how to get out of that prison in their mind if we haven't been able to do it ourselves. We would never know how to tell somebody or share with somebody how God comforts, can comfort them if he has not comforted us. We would never be able to tell somebody that has afflictions in their body that God can bring healing if he hasn't healed you. And he's kept my husband alive. I praise God for that. You know, because most people that's went through what he's went through would be dead. He has almost died a couple of times, but God kept him. But he kept him for a reason. He keeps us for a reason. It's not just to hold all that knowledge and that comfort and that love that we get unto ourselves, but it's so that we can share with other people. When is the last time that you sat down next to somebody and gave them comfort? When you sat down next to them and just listened to what they had to say. Here, I think it was, I don't remember where it was, but anyway, I had went and visited our son up in jail because that's like been his best address for the last 3 years, and I was coming out of there one night after visiting, and there was this young lady sitting on a seat outside the jail, and she was visibly upset, and it was just like the Holy Spirit just turned me around, because I don't always do this. I think you really have to be led by the Spirit of God. And I went over there and sat down next to her, and I said, "Are you okay?" And of course, people's going to lie. We talked about that in Sunday school. Just a little bit. I'm okay. And I'm like, "Are you sure you're all right?" And she's like, "No." She goes, "I just don't know what, you know, her boyfriend or husband or whoever was in there." And I just sat there with her. And she just started talking. And, you know, and sometimes we think that we're going to give words of consolation to somebody when all they need is somebody sitting there next to them knowing that somebody cares. Amen. Before I left, I asked her, I said, "Can I give you a hug and can I pray for you?" And she allowed me to do both. Now, you know, I just share that because sometimes we get so inwardly focused on what we're going through that we ignore what's going on around us. And as Christians, we need to be quick to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. I couldn't even tell you what all I said to her because it was the Holy Spirit putting any words that I said to her in my mouth. We need to be like that. We need that song we sang, "I love you, and then I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say." We need, you know, we sing words to songs like that, and they're just words. But as we were singing that, I'm like, we really need to take those words to heart. We need to go where God tells us to go. Has God given you somewhere, has he told you to do something and you've not done it? Well, I'm not going to be hard on you because I want to encourage you, but you need to do what God has told you to do. Has God told you to go say something to somebody and you've not done it? Well, we need to be obedient and we need to say what God has told us to say. We need to be the church. We need to be the men and women and the children, because we don't put our children aside because they can be led by the Holy Spirit as well. All right? There's children today that suffers that can be a comfort to somebody else as well. Amen? But this word comfort also means to stand beside somebody. Are we standing beside our brothers and sisters in Christ? That doesn't mean we always have to give them advice, right? It means we stand along beside them. We hold them up. We lift them up if we have to. But we love them. We encourage them. We bring them comfort. Over in Ecclesiastes, it says to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn. We should have joy with somebody who is full of joy. I mean, we are to be of like mind. But we need to encourage one another. We need to stand beside one another. Now, we know that God fulfills all these roles, right? We know that God, He lifts us up when we're down. He encourages us when we're discouraged. He brings us joy when we're disquieted in our soul. But we, as the children of the Most High God, we need to be like Him. We need to be Christ-like. Is that always easy? Maybe not. And all I can do is go from personal experiences. You know, we can look at Paul, and even Paul, while he was in prison, I just find this so fascinating. You know, he didn't wallow in self-pity. He didn't wallow in discouragement. He didn't say, oh, woe is me. I might as well eat a worm and die. He didn't. He was in that prison writing letters to the churches, encouraging them to continue to do what they had been taught to do. To continue in the faith, absolutely. To not give up hope. To continue steadfast. To remain faithful. 2 Corinthians 7 and 6. Just go over here and read this. And this is Paul once again. It says, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforts us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. You know, God sends people into your life when you need somebody sent to bring you comfort, to bring you help, to bring you a word from God, to just sit beside you and to pray with you, to encourage you. And that's what we see here. Because, and I'll tell you, it's all because it's God, it is absolutely not God's characteristic to leave us alone in a place that we feel totally alone. God will always send somebody your way. Or He will send you to a person. Amen? And we need to remember this. God wants to use us as His hands and His feet. Do you want your life to count for something? I know there's probably a lot of people that says, well, what am I here for? You ever ask that? What am I here for? What am I here to do? And then as many times young Christians are like, what do you want me to do, Lord? What work do you have for me? Well, if you don't know what it is, the Word of God, first of all, tells us that the will of the Lord is that we glorify Him in all things. All right? But we should be of comfort to those who need comfort. We should be like Titus here. Lord help me. I just want to encourage you today. To ask the Lord to allow your light to be a witness to someone. I never do this, but I like marked my Bibles this morning because I just kind of had to flip through here. And I just want to read something to you. This is an encouragement Bible that I brought with me this weekend. And I was just flipping through here before church. And I just want to encourage you to be that comfort to those. There might be people in here today that needs comfort from their brother or sister in Christ. There might be someone in here today that knows someone in here that's going through a troubling time. Are you being a comfort to them? We need to ask ourselves these questions sometimes. But it says here, your friend, it's like a little devotion from Job, but I just thought it was really good, and it goes along with what I'm talking about. It says, your friend needs to know that they're not alone, because you are and will be with her. Did you get that? We need to stand beside people and let them know that they are not alone in whatever situation they find themselves in. Your friend needs to know that you won't abandon them. I don't know about any of y'all, but I have felt abandoned by the church. I'll just be honest. Your pastor's probably felt like that too. Even though he's my brother and he's not going to stand there and admit it. Well, come on. You know, pastors and preachers and your spiritual leaders, it's like, well, we can't let people know that we're vulnerable as well. But they are. They are. They are probably even more so than a lot of other people because they shoulder a large responsibility and they don't feel like people get behind them. Come on. It's very true. Now, whether your leaders in this church will get up and admit that, that's on them. That's not on me. All right? But you need to encourage your pastor. You need to encourage your Sunday school leaders. All right? You need to encourage your elders, your whoever's on your board, or your worship leader. They need to know that they're appreciated. Amen? They need to know that they're not in this alone. Are we in this race alone? No. We run this race together to encourage and comfort one another. When we're in this race and somebody stumbles and falls, are you just going to leave them down? I've seen a video, and I think it was one of the special Olympics. You've probably seen it. One of their guys that was racing fell, and what did they do? I think there was even people that weren't special needs out there. They lifted the kid up, and they carried him to the finish line. And that's what we need to do as Christians. Sometimes we might have to carry our brother or sister, and we might have to carry them to the finish line. Well, praise the Lord. If that's what we need to do, that's what we need to do. We should not get tired. We should not get weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap. Amen. But it goes on here and it says, for many others, this woman will receive mostly words. All right, there we go again. I've had people just quote the word of God to me. Quote, 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 quote. All right, God's word is good. It's anointed. It's encouraging. But I need to know that you're standing with me, brother. You can quote the word of God all you want, but I need to know that you really care. Amen? But for us as a church, you know I'm not reading this straightforward because I just can't do it. But we need somebody who will sit in the dark and share that pain. Now, who does? God does that very, very well. But we need to learn how to do that too. And as I read that, I think of Sister Willing whenever our daddy died. How she would just sit there. And I probably never knew her as well until that point and saw the depths of her heart. Seriously. Sometimes we need to just sit in the dark with people and let them know we care. We need to listen. Often without saying a single word. The cry of Job and of many sufferers is this, oh, that I had someone to hear me. Well, we do have someone that hears us. And that's the God of all comfort, of all mercies. He hears our cry. He hears our cry from the very pit. He hears our cry from the very darkest of dark. And he brings us comfort. And he brings us strength. and he brings us joy. And he causes us to rise up out of that dust of mourning for whatever it is that you're mourning. And we will rise up with healing in our wings. God, as long as we trust in him and we pour our spirit out before him, he will cause us to rise up. I know this with every fiber of my being, that God causes us to rise up. If I could get Sister Willing, and I'd like for you to just play that song again that I mentioned. There may be somebody in here that needs God to bring them comfort. And I want to just open up these altars this morning. And I would encourage you to come up here and just pour your heart out before God. And if there's someone in here that knows that somebody's going through something, come up here and surround them with your support. Come up here and surround them with your love, with your encouragement, because that's what the body of Christ needs these days. There's so much suffering out there. And then when you go out today, after all the services, let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When you see somebody that seems to be in distress, let's be quick to obey the Spirit of God, to go encourage them. Maybe just give them a hug. Give them a word. I'm just good. Just come on. Don't hesitate. Let's come up and, I don't know, get up and praise the Lord. Sing the song. Do something, you know, because I feel the Spirit of God here this morning, and God wants to minister to you. And I believe that the body of Christ wants to minister to one another as